Thank you again for inviting me to join you. You know, I'll go around and speak at a lot of places, and it's always a pleasure to come. This is one of my favorite places, so thank you again for welcoming me back to Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church. Thank you. And my esteemed colleague, Reverend Billy Heaster, the senior minister. Such a pleasure to be back here. It's a great, great place, and I do appreciate it. I get more kudos from being on your billboard than anything I've ever done in my life. I tell you, that's the best advertisement. So thank you again. The other day, I don't know about you, but I went to Whole Foods to shop. I went to Whole Foods, as many of you do, because there's no Trader Joe's in Savannah. And from what I heard recently, it's the fault of Mr. Billy Heaster, who he does. I don't know if he hates me or hates Trader Joe's. I don't know. But I love Whole Foods. It's also so I was behind a car who was kind of going to the right and parking kind of weirdly on the right. So I parked in the left, not realizing the car was going right so that she could back into the spot that I stole from her. Now, it's so nice to be in Savannah where people are so comfortable in how they feel about letting me know what they think of me. And she might have yelled a word or two that I'm not allowed to say here at a wonderful Methodist church. But after yelling at me and shaming me, she calmed down, and she was so nice. She waved at me as I walked away. It was so nice of her. It was a weird type of wave where she only had one finger up. But she waved. It was so nice of her. And the funny thing was the very next day, I'm driving along, and I needed to check my phone because I couldn't get the GPS going, so I go to the side of the road as I'm supposed to, and I park so I can take out my phone. And a guy comes from behind on a bicycle and slams on the top of my car, says the same words that woman said to me, but then he calmed down as well, and as he was getting farther away, he waved back to me just as she did. It turns out that I had parked in a bicycle lane and hadn't realized that I had done so. Now, I'm here to tell you that I was wrong in both cases. And I know you're not Jewish, but rabbis are only wrong about twice a decade. And mine just happened to be twice, you know, consecutive days. I stole the woman's parking space and I parked in the bike lane. I was wrong, but what I am shocked about being so wrong was that these two strangers assumed that I had committed my terrible transgression intentionally just to ruin their day. Now, what is funny is neither of them knew me. If they had known me, then I could understand why they would think that. But they did not know me, and so they just assumed that this gentleman had done this terrible thing to take away 12 seconds of their day. And when we think about being angry, we think of the story that Janet read so beautifully about Moses. Moses, who was the greatest prophet in the Jewish world, and he had a little bit of temper. And when the people are a little upset because there's not enough water, he doesn't follow God's directions. Instead of asking the rock, he smashes the rock with his stick. He yells at the people. And we know that anger is a problem. It's a problem for all of us. I love the cover. If you look at the cover there, that's me a few years ago getting angry. I sent them a thank you note for doing such a perfect rendition of me when I was working out. Now, a lot of people use the phrase, the patience of Job. That's what we all need. But the truth is, I think we need to go to a deeper level than just patience, than just stopping from getting angry. The other day, like, the worst thing ever happened to me. I got a parking ticket downtown for the 10th time that year. And I called and explained that I was going to pay. I actually have a pass that I just keep forgetting to pick up. And For some reason, they don't automatically know my car should have a pass, and they keep giving me tickets. So I called up, and I said, I'm going to come pay it, no worries. They said, come tomorrow. I go later that day, and what do I have on my car but a boot? A boot, one of those boots that keeps you from driving off. Now, I was a little upset. More than a little upset, I was quite frankly angry and furious that these people had gone out of their way to ruin my day as opposed to everybody else's day. They picked me out for a specific reason to ruin my life. I'm never going to live a decent day for the rest of my life. My life is over. My children, my wife can never make me happy again. That's how I felt. And I then broke one of my most essential and most important rules. And that rule is wait before acting. Wait a day before going to speak to somebody who's upset you. So, of course, I walked into this office with all of the patience of Moses on his worst day and was very kind enough not to use the words that were used to me, but use the more PC version of those words, and was just enraged that these people had done this to me, very akin to the guy hitting the top of my car, very akin to the woman yelling at me. My uncle accidentally stole the parking space of someone years earlier, and the person honked and cursed at him, and I believe even waved at him as well. And this was a time where we didn't have cell phones, so what did my uncle do? He went home, went to his phone, called one of his tenants and said, "Your son just cursed me out, I'm raising your rent." True story. So, what we see sometimes is there are repercussions for these things. But I think the real trouble is when we believe immediately upon somebody doing something, our first thought is, they did it intentionally to hurt us. They did something like take my parking space or park in the bike lane because they wanted to hurt me, and therefore I hate them. That is our first inclination so often. I just thank God for one thing, that type of "I hate you" immediately after you do something has not infiltrated our American political system today. Thank God for small favors. So we understand that there could be repercussions for doing these things. You could have your rent raised. I can make a fool of myself in front of the parking people. There's repercussions that happen. Sometimes they're silly, sometimes they're not, but sometimes they can be severe. Nicole Phillip wrote an article on the New York Times in May entitled, "Nine People Reveal a Time They Racially Stereotyped a Stranger." In the social media, he wrote, "Stereotyping can lead to fraught encounters that go viral. In recent weeks, people have called the police on innocent black people for doing nothing more than waiting at Starbucks cafe or napping in a dorm." Quoting again, "We wanted to understand more about these encounters. We asked readers to share stories, often painful ones, of times they have made unjust assumptions of others. We asked readers to tell us what role race played in their thinking, how their thoughts affected their behavior, and what they would do differently." And they had over 200 people send in such thoughts. One was a woman named Emily who wrote, "I am a young white woman, was walking down the steps to the subway on the Upper West Side." I think that's someplace New York, which I was recently told is in the United States. I didn't know that. "And I noticed a black man started to walk down the steps behind me. Since there was no one else in the station, I started to worry that he was going to attack me. And I looked back behind myself multiple times as I passed through the turnstile, trying to keep a safe distance from him. The man noticed my behavior and said, 'Are you panicked because I'm black? Don't worry, I won't hurt you.' I felt so ashamed of being suspicious of him." A second one is Neil. "I was using," and she was 24, Neil's a 53-year-old man, "I was using an ATM on a street in a Central American city. Several young Hispanic-looking men were socializing on the street. I took my $200 cash and began to walk away. One of the men started following me. I quickened my pace only to have him catch up to me, waving something at me. It was the bank card that I had left in the ATM. He returned it with a big smile and seemed to acknowledge that I looked scared. Not sure if it was the situation or their race that made me assume they were up to no good. In retrospect, I probably should have given them the benefit of the doubt. New York could be in Central America. I'm not sure. We'll check that later. I should check that beforehand. A good friend of mine named Tim McMillan had an incredible story. He's a police officer in town. You may have heard of him. And one day, he was at the beach with his family. They went home ahead of him. He was exhausted. He was tired. And he saw as he was driving home that he was following a car that was swerving. He thought, I better take a moment to turn, take this person to the side in case it's dangerous. He was tired, but he still did it. He found out that the young man, the young African-American, was texting while driving. And so he went up to tell the young man, you should stop texting while driving because it's very dangerous. What we noticed was when he got up to the car that the boy, who was 18, I believe, was petrified. Petrified of him as a white police officer pulling him over with nobody else around. He was so scared that this police officer was going to do something terrible to him. He immediately assumed that was the case. So Tim told him, son, I'm just here to say be careful. I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm not going to do anything to you, but please, if you need to text, pull over or do it in another time. And that was it. So Tim went home, but he was so shocked at how scared this young man was in front of him that he videoed himself telling the story. And he woke up the next day and over 2 million people had seen it on YouTube. I think the number is probably in the tens of millions now. He was so shocked because he knew what he had seen resonates with everyone. Because we don't only become angry, we automatically so often assume the worst in somebody else. We assume they are out to get us. They assume that we are out to get them. Abraham Joshua Heschel, the noted philosopher and civil rights advocate, once said, in several ways, man is set apart from beings created in 6 days. And this is really interesting to me. The Bible does not say God created the plant or the animal. It says God created different kinds of plants, different kinds of animals. In striking contrast, it does not say God created different kinds of men, men of different colors and races. It proclaims God created one single man from which all men are descended. Now, we believe the Israelites were liberated from Egypt a long time ago, but we still have a long ways before we complete the liberation. And one of the keys to our final liberation will be learning to refrain from immediately assuming the worst in people, then immediately reacting based upon these assumptions. Now, unfortunately, it will not be easy because it sounds so easy. We need to emulate men like Billy Heaster, men who really live this walk. Because our minds, for some reason, and I am not a biologist, have been conditioned to sometimes see the worst in others, whether it's due to gender, race, occupation, social status, country of origin, road rage, or parking lot etiquette. Our minds have been conditioned to believe that others want to intentionally injure us. When something like this so simply happens, what is the first thing that comes to our mind when someone cuts us off in traffic or takes the job that we think we deserve or gets in line with cuts in front of us in line? There's usually a reason. Often the person has no idea what they're doing, but our rage is nevertheless real. We all become the man on the cover of your program today. We all rip apart our shirts and see the green muscles growing. We become the Hulk. When we learn to view everyone else as coming from the same ancestors as ourselves, perhaps we will learn to react differently one day. I hope that day comes soon. We know these things happen with people who are not good people. What's difficult is these things happen to us, those of us who are good people. Even good people, especially good people, have to be wary of these immediate reactions. I ask God to give us the strength to understand that people are different. People are not out to injure us most of the time. Give us patience and maybe wait a day before confronting the parking lot people because they don't deserve the rage of the rabbinical Hulk. Amen. Thank you again.